You know what was on the jukebox in the front. Now Matt the Cat's gonna show you what was on the juke in the back.
Lord have mercy, baby. Matt the Cat, where it's at, back on the scene with my 78 RPM record machine and doing the do just for you. I'm making the tubes glow in our old Rockola jukebox, right here on your source for 1940s and 50s rhythm and blues. Welcome to another edition of The Juke in the Back. It's the soul that came before rock and roll. For the next hour, you're going to hear the building blocks of rock and roll. That great little sweet period between 1945 and about 1956, where a whole lot of magic happened. But this time period is also ignored and often overshadowed. Not here, baby. Not on The Juke in the Back. And not this week, as we begin a multi-part tribute to one of the most important independent record labels of the 1940s, King Records. The 1940s and early 50s were a fertile time for independent record labels. King got started in 43 and 44. Atlantic began in 1947. Aristocrat Records started in 47 and would eventually become Chess Records in 1950. And the list goes on and on. Deluxe, Modern, Aladdin, Specialty, Exclusive, Excelsior. But next to maybe Atlantic and Specialty, King Records was the most significant one. Founded in Cincinnati by hometown boy Sid Nathan, who was born in 1904 and had been around the block a few times before coming upon King. Sid had notoriously bad eyesight and wore Coke bottle glasses. He dropped out of high school in ninth grade and tried to pursue a career as a drummer in the Cincinnati clubs. He then tried his hand at running a pawn shop, a jewelry store, concessions at an amusement park, a wrestling promoter. He had very bad asthma, so he spent some time in Arizona. Then he moved to Florida to be with his brother, and that's where he started working in a photo finishing business. That experience would help him later when designing album jackets. But by the early 1940s, he moved back to Cincinnati and opened up his own record store called Sid's Record Shop. He claimed he sold records in a part of town where nobody could sell records. There's no question, Sid Nathan was an entrepreneur. He saw a huge market in hillbilly records that the majors were ignoring, so he decided to start his own record label. He dubbed it King Records because, as he said, it was the king of them all. King Records was initially started in November of 1943, but failed miserably. The first run of King 78s were pressed at the American Printing House for the Blind in Louisville, Kentucky, and they sounded terrible. So in 1944, Sid Nathan bought a record press and began pressing his own records. He didn't want to have to deal with national distributors. They were expensive, unreliable, and full of trickery. Distributors were notorious for not giving you the money off of one record until you had a hit with another record. So they would withhold funds from the record label. Nathan decided he would set up his own distribution around the Midwest. It worked, and once King really got humming, they had a whole network of distribution houses that would only distribute King records. Nathan then set up his own recording studio. He kept everything in-house, inexpensive, and he kept control over all parts of his business. He didn't know much about rhythm and blues, or race records as they were called at the time, but he knew there was a hunger and a demand out there for these records. So, in 1945, he set up a subsidiary of King Records, named after Cincinnati, which is the Queen City. So he called his R&B label Queen Records. And this week on The Juke in the Back, we're going to start our multi-part feature on King Records by dedicating the entire part one to Queen Records, where rhythm and blues began for King. And rhythm and blues on Queen began with Benjamin Joseph Jackson, who was nicknamed during his time in Lucky Millinder's orchestra playing saxophone as Bull Moose Jackson. Because of his appearance, the other cats in the band thought he looked like a bull moose. Jackson was from nearby Cleveland, Ohio, and so he's playing saxophone in Lucky Millinder's orchestra, which also included Wynonie Harris at this time. And when Wynonie Harris didn't make appearances, Millinder started to call on Bull Moose to step up to the microphone. And soon, Sid Nathan plucked him from Lucky Millinder's orchestra and signed him to Queen Records, where he had his first recording session in August of 1945, right in Cincinnati, and Queen released its first record in September of 45. It's Bull Moose Jackson and his Buffalo Bearcats with Hold 'em Joe. And that's how we're going to kick off part one of King Records with Queen Records this week on The Juke in the Back. Take it away, Bull Moose!
Mm-hmm.
And there's a cat who had his own wonderful language, Slim Gaylord with Vout O'Rooney, which was issued on Queen Records in December of 1945. But back in these early days of Queen Records, Sid Nathan really didn't know the rhythm and blues field, so he relied on freelancer Mayo Williams to sell him some masters. Williams was one of the first African-American producers and A&R men in the record industry. Back in the days of the Delta Blues, he worked for Paramount, for Vocalion, and then ended up at Decca. When we catch him in 1945, he's just coming off a stint at Decca Records. Some say he was starting to lose his ear for the music. But he remained in the industry and started his own label in New York City, Harlem Records. He didn't have great distribution on Harlem, and so he sold a lot of his masters to other independent label entrepreneurs. Enter Sid Nathan, who's just trying to get his Queen record label off the ground. So Nathan would end up buying about one-third of Queen's releases from Mayo Williams. Slim Gaylord's Vout O'Rooney was just one of them. Another one was Roby Kirk, who was backed up by Tab Smith's orchestra. This tune, Let's Go Upstairs, was recorded in New York City in September of 1945. Roby Kirk is on vocal, Frank Galbraith and Russell Royster are on trumpets, the leader, Tab Smith, is on alto, Johnny Hicks is playing the tenor, Larry Belton's on Barry sax, Red Richards on piano, Johnny Williams on bass, and Walter Johnson's playing the tubs. Sid Nathan released it in March of 1946 on Queen Records, this week's feature on The Juke in the Back. Here's Roby Kirk and his orchestra with the kind of double entendre, Let's Go Upstairs.
Took her out for a ride in a truck. She didn't like my jive, so about Susie May. All the guys on the corner call her pretty Susie May. She'll hold you in the morning, hold you at night, keep you groovy cause she holds you right. Pretty little Susie, wild little Susie May. When she gets you in the clutches, you just can't get away. Well, she'll call you Johnny and you call her Susie May. Well, she'll call you Johnny and you call her Susie May. When she gets started, boy, how that girl can play.
Walter Brown, the highly underrated blues shouter who started his career in 1941 with J. McShann's band, who also had some fine stints with other great bands of the day like Tiny Grimes Orchestra. We catch him right there with Skip Hall's orchestra, recorded New York City on the 19th of December 1945. Queen Records issued it in early 46. The Jumpin', The Jivin', Susie May, right here in the Juke in the Back, your source for 1940s and 50s rhythm and blues. As we feature part one of King Records this week, we're focusing on King's first foray into the rhythm and blues field by starting its subsidiary, Queen Records. Owner Sid Nathan has been quoted as saying that these early rhythm and blues records that he issued on Queen, quote, stunk. I personally think they're great and there's nothing to be ashamed of here. So cats and kittens, let's slow it down with a beautiful ballad. This is by the Dixieairs with Muriel Gaines on vocal from March of 1946. I Know We Will Never Meet Again.
I know, oh yes I know, that you and I will never meet again. For you were meant for somebody else. That night, oh yes, that night when first we met, I fell in love with you. And now I simply can't forget.
Oh, darling, but if we never meet again beneath those moonlit skies, oh, but I know that your love will follow me as the years go passing by.
Oh, darling, I know. Oh, yes, I know that you and I will never meet again. For you were meant for somebody else. Thank you.
darling, but if we never meet again beneath those moonlit skies, oh, but I know that your love will follow me as the years go passing by. Oh, darling, I know.
Oh, yes, I know that you and I will never meet again. For you
are meant for somebody else.
Generous support for Juke in the Back provided by weekly sustainers Janice Stenhouse, Robert Stallworth, Barry from San Diego, Mr. Lee, David Ayers, Thomas Huber, Joe Metzger, The Wolfman, and contributors Pamela Isabel, Ken Farger. Thank you for your support. More information at jukeintheback.org.
You're listening on the Juke in the Back. Miss Math the Cat.
Gertie, wear his hair like a porcupine. He can smell like B.O. Plenty, just as long as he's mine. I don't care how he walks, as long as he talks. He can buzz like a bee, long as he belongs to me. He can look like Hairless Joe, just as long as I know he's mine.
The great and highly underrated Anastine Allen, I Want a Man Who's Gonna Do Right. Recorded in December of 1945 in New York City, and then the masters were sold to this week's featured record label, Queen Records. That's right, cats and kittens, I'm actually featuring part one of a multi-part series on King Records. But we can't feature rhythm and blues on King without starting out with their short-lived rhythm and blues label, Queen Records. Queen was only around for 2 years before it was folded into King in 1947. Then the rhythm and the blues and the King were one and the same. Now, even though Anastine Allen wasn't technically a King artist at this time, she would become one. And she would only score one hit, 1953's Baby, I'm Doing It, the answer to the Five Royales record, Baby, Don't Do It. That one hit number 8 for King Records. Up next, we have a record issued in April of 1946 by David Green with the Melba Pope Trio. David Green's on vocals, Melba Pope is on piano, and the bassist and drummer are unknown. This is a cool one called Jody Jody Blues. I'm Matt the Cat, and you're digging the Juke in the Back.
I woke up this morning feeling mighty blue. Yes, I woke up this morning feeling mighty blue. I got a letter from a good friend saying Jody's taking my place with you. Jody, 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 listen to my plea. I'm fighting hard for you and Uncle Sammy, but troubled in mind I'll be. Because she told me she'll be loving me each night till early dawn, but now her loving's over, 'cause Jody's got my gal and gone. Oh, Jody, how could you be so mean to me when I'm still crazy about my pretty baby, though things ain't what they used to be. Well, well, you know I love you, baby, from your feet to your head, but every time I turn my back, old Jody's sleeping in my bed. Oh, Jody, please be kind to me, for I'm down with it, just can't quit it, Jody, and it's all on account of thee. So I'm coming home, Jody, to see my family. Yes, coming home, Jody, to see my family. And if I catch you in my house, good Lord, have mercy on thee.
It was a lovely Sunday morning, and everyone was gay, everyone but Deacon Jones, who did not feel that way. He was loaded down with pills, he was plastered to the gills. You could tell it, you could smell it, every time you heard him yell. I found out who threw the whiskey in the well.
In the well!
Yes, I know who threw the whiskey in the well.
In the well!
Yes, I'm squealing on my friend, 'cause he went south with my inn. Yes, I know who threw the whiskey in the well.
In the well! Deacon Jones who threw the whiskey in the well.
Just wait and see.
Deacon Jones who threw the whiskey in the well.
It wasn't me, I will tell you in a minute, soon as I find out what's in it. Yes, I know who threw the whiskey in the well. Thank you. whiskey in the well.
In the well.
I'm going to tell who threw the whiskey in the well.
In the well.
When you kneel down on your knees, I will set your mind at ease, 'cause I know who threw the whiskey in the well. Through the window came a bottle, and it landed on my head. The folks knelt down to pray, they thought Deacon Jones was dead. Elder Brown went way down, then he raised the deacon's head. The deacon's eyes flew open, and this is what he said. It wasn't Sister Ash.
No.
It wasn't Elder Brown.
No.
It wasn't Sister Kitty, 'cause that gal was in the city. It wasn't Brother Smith.
No.
It wasn't Cousin Sammy.
Who was it, Deacon Jones?
It was Caldonia's Mammy.
It was Caldonia's Mammy. It was Caldonia's Mammy.
She threw the whiskey in the well.
The only national hit for Queen Records, 1946, Bull Moose Jackson, I Know Who Threw the Whiskey in the Well. That's the answer record to Lucky Millinder's 1945 hit, Who Threw the Whiskey in the Well? Now, Bull Moose Jackson actually has a connection to both songs, as he was in Lucky Millinder's orchestra in 1945. Though he was not on the original recording of Who Threw the Whiskey in the Well, he certainly played that song over and over again while performing live with Lucky Millinder. On December 19, 1945, Bull Moose Jackson entered a recording studio in New York City and recorded the sequel to Who Threw the Whiskey in the Well, a song he had composed himself, I Know Who Threw the Whiskey in the Well. Queen issued it in the early summer of 1946, and by July, it was number four nationally. Sid Nathan had his first rhythm and blues hit record. I'm Matt the Cat, and we're featuring King Records this week on The Juke in the Back. This is part one, and we're focusing on King's R&B subsidiary label, Queen Records. Let's hear a clip from Sid Nathan himself, talking about how Queen Records got started. Sid used to record his sales meetings back in the early 1950s, and this comes from one of those recordings. Here's King Records founder, Sid Nathan.
We started this company by accident. Cowboy Copas, Delmore Brothers, Merrill Travers, Hank Penny, Grandpa Jones used to come into the store. They were all on local radio stations here. Used to come in the store to buy records. They talked me into going into the record business. They were hungry. They wanted to make a $5 bill or a $40 bill, so they put one over on me. So naturally, we started as Hillbilly. We went along as Hillbilly for well over 2 years, maybe three. Then we saw the need to go into other categories in the record business. We saw a need, why should we go into these towns and only sell the hillbilly accounts? So we branched into the race business, the blues, as they like it referred to today, the sepia. We were afraid that the main purpose had not been accomplished, establishing King as Hillbilly. Because when you said the word King, you automatically said with it Hillbilly Records. So we started the Queen label. We got our masters in the beginning from buying them from Mayo Williams, who was the recording man for Decca. Later got to a point where we felt that we knew what we were doing in the race business. And I said, within 3 months, I'm going to get new artists and make a push for the race field. We had carried over from the Queen label one good artist, Moose Jackson. And please don't refer to him as Bull Moose. He looks like a bull, but he sings too pretty to have the name Bull on the end of his name.
I won't take up none of your time. Cause if I cut you, mama, just remember that you're mine. Bad man Jackson, that's me. Bad man Jackson, that's me. Bad, bad Jackson, just looking for satisfaction. Bad man Jackson, that's me. I'm gonna cut you, mama, from your head down to your toes. I'll even cut your corns and cut the freckles off your nose. I'll cut you in the fat part, and you know where I mean. Cause I'm the baddest Jackson that you have ever seen. Bad man Jackson, that's me. Bad man Jackson, that's me. Bad, bad Jackson, just looking for satisfaction. Bad man Jackson, that's me.
Started boogin' when I was nine. All the gals that I was
Now it's time for the Great 78, where we take a thick piece of shellac and harken back to a time when 78 RPM records were king. This week we're featuring Queen Records, and this one is by an artist who had several releases on Queen Records. This is Lenny Lewis's take on Woody Herman's theme song, Blue Flame. The tune was written by James Noble, and Woody Herman's original version came out in 1941. On July 2, 1946, Lenny Lewis cut this record at King Studios in Cincinnati. This was a Sid Nathan homegrown release, and it's this week's Great 78. Lenny Lewis and his orchestra with Blue Flame.
You're listening to The Juke in the Back with Matt the Cat.
Baby, give me some of that yum, yum, yum before you go away. Baby, give me some of that yum, yum, yum before you go away. Because sticks and stones break my bone. I'd be a fool if I let you go home. Baby, give me some of that yum, yum, yum before you go away. I mean, before you go away. Before you go away. Baby, give me some of that yum, yum, yum before you go away. While the sticks and stones break my bone, I'd be a fool if I let you go home. Baby, give me some of that yum, yum, yum before I go away, right me, before I go away. Before I go away, baby, give me some of that yum, yum, yum before I go away. Because I believe somebody, baby, now is fishing in my pond, catching all my perches, grinding up the bone. Baby, give me some of that yum, yum, yum before I go away, right me, before I go away. Baby, give me some of that yum, yum, yum before I go away. Baby, give me some of that yum, yum, yum before I go away. I said sticks and stones, well, they break my bone. I'd be a fool if I let you go home. Baby, give me some of that yum, yum, yum before I go away.
Blues legend Johnny Temple giving us a rhythm and blues jumper with Baby, Give Me Some of That Yum Yum Yum, recorded in Chicago in September of 1946 and issued in November on Queen Records. This week's feature on the Juke in the Back, Temple, who was born in Canton, Mississippi in 1905, began making records for Vocalion in 1935. From there, he moved over to Decca for quite a long time before jumping to RCA Bluebird, back to Decca, and then, thanks to Mayo Williams, on to Queen. He died in 1968 at the age of 63. As we take a look at Queen Records this week on The Juke in the Back, as part one of our multi-part series on King Records, we can't forget the gospel. Many Queen releases were gospel. So let's hear one of the finest ones right now. Here are the Jubilaires with Pray.
Oh, pray when you feel alone, when the winds blow, don't forget to pray. Oh, pray when you go to bed for your daily bread, don't forget to pray. You can awake to a beautiful morning. When you've got troubles, remember this warning and pray until judgment day. Got the devil to pay if you never open up the good book, 5 Psalms 23. Brothers and sisters, won't you listen to me? You gotta get ready.
Oh,
when you got to get to the
feet,
get on your bed and pray.
Brother, when the spirit hits, you got to sing and shout for the devil to get you.
You got to clap your hands and shout, hey, hey, if you want to get in through the pearly gate, you got to pray and pray and pray and pray for
the devil's going to blow his trumpet one day.
Pray when you're in the dump, you can take your bump if you'll only pray. Morning, noon, and night, you may see the light if you always pray.
The Jubilaires, one of the great gospel groups from the 1940s and 50s. In 1942, they actually scored a hit with the tune Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. They had a few releases for Queen Records and then were transferred over to King Records when Queen folded into King in mid-1947. It was at that time that Sid Nathan felt that King Records had established itself as a hillbilly label, and now it was time to go full force into the race records field. So he felt there was no need for Queen anymore, and a few R&B artists moved over to King from Queen. The Jubilaires, Anastine Allen, Bull Moose Jackson, and the guy who's going to close down this week's Juke in the Back, Earl Bostick. I hope you've enjoyed part one of our multi-part series on King Records, featuring the Queen label. Next week in part two, we'll focus solely on the King label. Until then, remember, soul, it's not a black thing, it's not a white thing, it's a feeling. And you get that feeling each week when you tune into your source for 1940s and 50s rhythm and blues, right here on the Juke in the Back. We're going to end this week's program with the final release on Queen Records. This tune, That's a Groovy Thing, was originally recorded for Gotham Records in March of 1946. Gotham couldn't handle the distribution, so at least this song out to Sid Nathan and Queen Records. This is actually a very interesting release, because on Queen it came out as a part one and a part two, but it's not your standard everyday parted record. It wasn't that the song was too long and they had to break it up into two parts. These are actually two different versions of the same song recorded at two different recording sessions. I can't think of this sort of thing happening at any other time. We're going to hear the first version of the tune, part one. It's the great alto saxophonist Earl Bostick, whom we're going to hear a lot more from in the coming weeks as we continue featuring King Records. Earl Bostick and his orchestra closing us down with That's a Groovy Thing. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll catch you on the flip side. Bye-bye.
We might play fast.
We might play fast.
We might play slow.
We might play slow.
We might play hard.
We might play hard.
We might play sweet.
We might play sweet.
But when we swing.
But when we swing.
That's a groovy thing.
That's a groovy thing.
We might play loud.
We might play loud.
We might play soft. When we swing,
when we swing,
that's the groovy thing.
That's the groovy thing.
Won't you listen to me?
Won't you listen to me?
Aren't you able to see?
Aren't you able to see?
What a wonderful thing!
What a wonderful thing!
To be able to swing,
you'll be able to swing.
When you rip and you ride,
when you rip and you ride,
you'll stay on the right side.
On the right side.
It doesn't sound sad.
It doesn't sound sad.
It makes you feel glad.
It makes you feel.
Whiskey
and the women have all gone home. Thanks for dropping by. Feel free to let Matt the Cat know if you dug the show. Email him at mattthecat@mattthecat.com. Juke in the Back is recorded at Rosie's Juke Joint, located at the Stepping Stone Inn in Salem, Massachusetts. For more information, please visit jukeintheback.org. I'm Miss Rosie. See you next time on the Juke in the Back.